Welcome to Hey Girl. I'm your host, Bill Janisse. Join me every week where I sit down with one of my amazing and talented friends who are experts in their field, and we have a little chat. Welcome to this episode of Hey Girl. I am your host, Bill Janisse, and I am really excited today because I am joined by a really wonderful friend. He is a wine and spirits expert. He's also a really wonderful filmmaker. He just finished his first short film, Hunter, that you're going to see at a lot of film festivals coming up this year, which is really exciting. So we're going to talk about that. In the penthouse today, welcome Max LeCocq. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming. Welcome to the Hey Girl penthouse. So, girl, listen. Okay. I'm so excited to talk to you about your film because you wrote it, directed it, you self-produced it. I'm dying to know all the things. So, I guess we should back up. You know, we've known each other for a number of years in the wine and spirits world. So where was this passion hiding for filmmaking and acting and directing and et cetera and all the things?
And all the things. Yeah. Well, listen, girl.
Yes, please say girl as many times as possible.
I don't know. I think I was 28 years old and I was, okay, what am I doing? I'm here in Las Vegas, you know, have a great job, like, but I was like, I'm only working all the time, and I was like, what do you really want to do? And so I just stumbled, you know, over an acting class here, and I just fell in love with it. So After a year of like taking classes and everything, I was like, okay, well, how can I just, you know, tell a story that really mattered to me? And so, well, I had to learn everything, and thank you, Google, you know,
right?
And YouTube.
And YouTube, they're the best. Those are the best resources.
Learn, yeah, you can learn everything right there. Yeah. So I did that, and then I found also an online course, you know, how to be a filmmaker. And I was just like, yeah, why not? Let me learn about, you know, all the basics and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I learned from, you know, writing a script. I mean, you have the idea. Idea is always fantastic in your head. Then you have to write it.
Right. Yeah. Let's actually break it down timeline wise. What is the process? Obviously, writing concept. Once you have the idea, then we go into writing. Correct.
Yes. So, well, I have like so many ideas, and then
how do we put them all together?
Well, and it's also, you know, which one can you actually really write and produce
and execute? Yeah,
exactly.
In like a real life.
Yeah, once, because you know, I produce everything myself. You don't have like a big production or anything. And most of the time I have like my best ideas when I'm just driving, which is not a really good idea. You know, you're like driving and you're like, oh, I'm going to. And so you just take notes and notes. And at some,
I use like the voice app on my phone when I have an idea to just write it down and remember later.
Oh, I do the same thing because I'm not doing it when driving.
Girl, listen, some people do. It drives me crazy, by the way. It drives me crazy when I see people on social media filming themselves driving. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, why aren't you focusing on the road?
Yes.
So we're glad to know you're not one of those people. No, we're never going to see Max filming like, while driving.
Like the you know, the people like FaceTiming where they are in the store.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to hear your conversation, girl. Exactly. We good. Thank you.
Like, girl, bye. No.
And so, yes, I mean, you write the first script, and I put it on the side for 2 weeks. Then you go back to it, and you're like, oh my god, this is terrible. And then you rewrite it, and then it's sort of like rewriting, basically.
Yeah.
And from there, it's okay. How much that's gonna cost me, you know, to have actors, how much is going to cost me to have actually a cinematographer, because I did not have the gear, you know, like just like those camera, like if you want something,
yeah,
of
like
good,
oh, just
quality.
Those little logistics of actually having the equipment to film and produce. Just that little detail,
like,
you know.
How much is that camera? $10,000. Right. Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. That kind of deflates your hope for a second.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, it's gonna be
but I was lucky enough to know someone who after 2 months, you know, of like telling him like every week, like, have you read my script? What do you think? What do you think? Let me take you out for lunch. Like gracefully accepted to film it. His name is TJ Penton. Uh-huh. And he's amazing. One of his short film actually made it to the Cannes Festival.
Okay.
So I knew that at least I had someone who knew what he was doing in terms of filming. And from there, it was, you know, How can I find actors? So, mm-hmm. of course, you are look at your fellow, you know, actors in your class.
Sure.
And I was like, okay. But I needed someone really strong as far as the lead. And so I went to one of your other friends,
yeah.
Jay Clay.
Jay, yeah, absolutely.
And Jay was
one of our Hey Girl models for all of our merchandise.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's on the website. He's all over the website with like the wearing Hey Girl t-shirts and Hey Girl wine glasses and everything.
I am not surprised.
So with the writing, do you remember how many drafts did you actually go through?
I think I went through at least like 8 drafts.
Okay. And what did you do? Did you find, I mean, I know everybody has probably their own strategy, but as far as like writing, I mean, I know for me, you know, sometimes I have to actually do like an outline or a storyboard first, and then I try to fill in the gaps for if I'm doing something that's going to be like read. But, you know, what were your strategies? Did you have to bullet point it, timeline it? Did you just sit down and just start writing?
No, first I wrote like a log line, you know, okay. just like a few sentences, like just what is the movie about? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay. And it was at that time during COVID when...
Oh, yes.
I was seeing a lot of things and I don't know if I'm going to say his name right, but I'm following him on Instagram. His name is Paul Nickel.
Yeah, and, Paul Nichols, yeah.
And so he's just all about, you know, saving animal lives and protecting the planet. And he posted some stuff about endangered species that are just like disappearing every year. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why he struck a chord with me.
Yeah.
And so I was driving, of course, when I had that idea. And I was like, there should be some people in the world, you know, allowed to shoot basically or gun down like poachers. And I know it sounds, you know, like basically like, yeah, we should be fine with like people killing people. But it's not that. It's just like there is like so much like trafficking and everything that people are like, and people, it's in, you know, in South Africa, it's in South America, like all those people, I understand that they're trying to make money. But I've seen so many like videos of like wealthy, rich, basically like white people, and most of them are Americans, like, you know, just going with like full on like assault rifle and being proud of killing a zebra or a giraffe. And I'm just like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Right.
Like,
what the hell is wrong with you?
And on top of that,
damn Americans. No, but seriously.
On top of that, they're proud and they're posting that on, you know, on right. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever you name it. And that really annoyed me. So I went with that idea that someone must do something to protect them. And so that's where the log line came, like, okay, we have one man, you know, protecting endangered species. Mm-hmm. And of course, there need to be like a reporter to tell yeah. his story.
Oh, I love it.
So
that's how it came about.
Yes.
And we went through about 8 drafts, roughly, yes. give or take.
Well, because first I had that amazing idea that was almost like adventure, action sure. movie and everything, but it was almost like a feature-length movie, and that's, we're talking like, you know, millions of dollars.
You mean you don't have millions of dollars?
No, no
so not yet, though, at least. This you might by the end of the year.
So I was like, okay, how can I make that story like shorter for like a short film? Mm-hmm. And then the first draft, I ended up with 25 pages.
Okay.
And roughly one page is 1 minute on screen.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Like give or take, you know,
sure,
depending
sure.
on like the dialogue, the sure. actions, and everything. And I was like, okay, I cannot have like a 25-minute like short film because basically for a short like short film festivals, it has to be under 20.
Oh, I didn't know that either. Okay, so we had to cut 5 minutes somewhere.
Yes, so that's 5 pages, and I was like, okay, which part are not important?
Right,
and so you trim it, you trim mm-hmm. it, and you still try to have it
still be cohesive and still have
exactly
still
makes
have
sense.
The vision that in the integrity of the story and the vision. Yeah.
So
absolutely.
you just like write off some characters.
she just killed off some people. That's all. It's no big deal.
like the old gentleman. Oh, you cannot be in. Like the young girl. Oh, so
right.
So everyone in it basically was just like essential for the movie.
Sure.
And that's
so that was hard to trim down.
Yes, right. And even then, like the length of the short film is 18 minutes, almost 19, and still I feel it's a bit too long. But I didn't know what to cut anymore.
Right, you'd already trimmed it to as far as you could without losing context.
Exactly. Sure. So we did the best that we could.
Yeah.
Especially like during the editing part, because at some point I had. I don't know. I think I had like 20 pages and I was like, okay, we're going to shoot it all. We're going to film it all.
Yeah.
And we'll see what makes it, you know, during the editing.
Yeah.
That was the idea.
I love it. No, I can relate. I mean, when I used to choreograph things and do those types of things, my stuff always turned out longer than it was allowed to be as well. The client would even be like, that's 10 minutes longer than it needs to be. And I'd always, so I can relate at least in reference to editing without losing context.
Exactly.
You know, or even the vision, your vision, you know, you have to compromise some things.
Well,
know?
Especially, you know, it's when, and you know it really well, when basically you are producing everything on your own and you are the bank.
Yeah.
Well, you
got to think about budget too, girl.
you make some decision, you know.
Yeah, you got to make the decision.
But I don't know. It was just an amazing experience, and that was not even the day of the shoot. It took me, I would say, a good like 6 months to finally have like a script that I was like, okay, I'm good with it, and then to convince my friend to film it for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then from there, like, yeah, finding the actors, like.
So yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the casting. Sorry, I almost spilled my wine. Well, let's take a sip real quick. Cheers.
Cheers.
We're enjoying some rosé here on a hot summer day in Las Vegas.
Some French rosé.
Yeah, exactly.
Please, girl. Because
Max is from France. from French, excuse me. From France. Now I lost my train of thought.
Well, so for the actors.
Yes, for casting. Talk to me about the casting process.
Yeah, so for casting, what was really important for me is that anyone involved with the production was getting paid, basically, because I did so many things for free. You know, you do favors for friends and everything.
As artists, don't we always? We're always doing free things. And I know it's the common conversation. It's a, you know, it's not a new conversation we have as performers and as artists, but it's a, you know, we do so much for free for each other and we help each other out with our passion projects. But yes, there is a time where we have to start getting paid and we can't expect other people to do things for free. So I actually really admire the fact that you budgeted in to pay everybody. That's really, really great.
Oh yes. Anyone from like, you know, from the PA to, you know, like the person who was doing the COVID test, because it was a union project, so we had to, you know, like cover our asses and everything. And
she went full union, girl. This is not low budget at all, girl. Like, she went all out. I love it.
Oh yes,
I love it. I would expect nothing less, but I love it. It's very impressive.
And then you have to find the location, and depending of where you're filming, you need the permit, and then, you know, and then you have to pay the insurance and all those things. And then at the end of the day, I spent three times the money that I wanted to spend.
Oh, no.
But
isn't that how it always is? I feel like when we, like anything, even if you're starting like your own small business or new business, you know, they always say you end up spending 3 to 4 or 5 times, sometimes some, hopefully not 5, but you know what I mean?
No,
always spend more than you budget or anticipate.
And I really think that, you know, keeping in mind that I wanted to really make sure that everybody was getting paid and it was not looking cheap or anything.
Sure.
I mean, I try to not cut corners, but even like for costuming, I mean, honestly, like goodwill is your best friend. Like, you can go over there, you can go to, I went downtown Las Vegas, you know, just to the antique shop, and just like we shopped over there and we got all the costuming from there. I mean, you just try to make it happen all together. And yes, at the end of the day, like, I think that the insurance, because we had moving vehicles and a drone, I think the insurance was like almost like a third of the budget. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man.
Oh gosh.
But you know, it's when you don't have insurance that something happens. Always.
Exactly. No, believe me, I know.
But so for casting, yes, I went like so far. But
no,
for casting, I wanted to do it really professionally. But the only person that I made a direct offer to was Jay, because I've seen his work. Actually, we were together working on a set for The Cleaning Lady, which is an amazing series, and they were filming here at Dre's.
Yeah.
And we saw each other. We're like, yeah, I know you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we kept contact, and I saw all his work, and then I just offered him the lead because he was just the guy. He was looking just like I wanted, and he brought it to the screen. And for the other people, it was just regular auditions.
Yeah.
What is insane for me is so many people want to be part of the entertainment industry. And at any level, like music, you know, video, like whatever,
dancing,
film,
acting,
anything,
whatever. Yeah,
I put up on the backstage. I put up like, you know, just like casting call.
Sure.
And I had people. I mean, I was producing here locally for Las Vegas,
yeah.
And I put Las Vegas. I had some people from Miami, from New York, and I was But I was just telling them, I'm like, look,
You're like, I'm not paying traveler per diem.
Exactly.
You're literally
going to
get performance
pay. I was
pay.
Really up, and I was like, I really appreciate you wanting to be part of that project, but just so you know, this is how much it pays, and I'm not even sure that's going to reimburse your plane ticket.
Right.
And people were still like, no, I want to come. At all. So,
hey, get it, girl.
Yeah.
That's what they want.
So, yeah, we kind of like with the cinema.
Did you end up casting anybody from out of town?
No, actually, no.
You're like, no, we didn't go in there.
No, because it was all about, like, you have a lot of people, you know, that send you their material, and they don't, like, they send you almost like a selfie. It's not even like a professional headshot or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I just went with people who sent me, like
professional,
like good
material,
self-tape,
yeah.
And everything. And I'm no one, like, I'm, you know, I also, like, send some self-tape for commercials and everything. And,
sure.
And, you know, we are our harshest critic, and, you know, and I'm just like, oh, I look like shit. Why did I say that? He's so stupid. Like, but then I was just trying to look at, you know, the character that I wanted for the film. And I was like, okay, is that guy bringing it? Is that girl? And I was just like, okay, you get it. You get it. And that's pretty much how it came all about.
I love it. How long did it take to cast the film?
Casting was pretty fast. I think that it was less than 3 weeks.
And how many actors did you have?
I will say so. Let me see. I'm just trying to count in my head. So we have four with a speaking part. Like there are like, you know, like a page or less. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jay probably has like 14 pages out of the 18.
Great. I'm sure he didn't mind.
No, he loved it.
Mind. I'm sure he did great.
Yes, the other people was either like, you know, like a page or three.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had two like background. I wanted to do more. Do you want it? That's one of the things that we cut. I didn't want those role to be background role, you know, of what they call to make it fancy feature.
Yeah, role. Sure. Yeah, you wanted it to be featured.
And unfortunately, it's just that it was too much for the time of the movie, so we cut it, but they're still in.
Yeah. So you mean, when you say cut, you mean obviously like on in post?
Like, post. Like we filmed everything, and I was just like, it's just too long. We have to trim this or that. And then one of the funniest part actually for me was location, like scouting location.
Oh, yeah. So where did you end up filming?
A little bit everywhere, honestly.
We like everywhere, girl. We were in the desert, girl.
Everywhere, girl. We went everywhere.
I love it.
Nelson Ghost Town was one of the location.
Mm.
I explained, you know, my situation, everything, and they gracefully actually said, yeah, as long as you film in the morning and we don't have like, you know, a group like touring the mine and everything, like, you can film there. So we did it here, and then we went down to the Colorado River to have like some scenery and everything.
Sure.
Went over there, and actually we filmed a place not too far from here. I don't know, it's like looks like a big hill or over there. I don't know the name. It's all construction. Like it's all like new buildings and everything.
Oh shit. Okay.
When we filmed like back in September, nothing was there. And we just did
a... So you got in at the right time.
Well, yeah, we got lucky.
You got... Did you need a permit to film there? Or did you just kind of do your own thing? Well, I don't want to get...
Sure. We got a we got a permit with ourselves.
But he's like, I was self-permitting to film on location on this hill.
There was literally like nothing around us. And we need to do like a really important scene in the film. And it was a scene with Jay and myself. And we need like a campfire, no noise, nothing. So we went like as far away as possible. And we filmed everything over there. And it just turned out like really great. But that was fun. And location is just, it's so, I don't know, it's so interesting. Like all, you have the vision and then everything comes to life. And then as a first time producer, you are super stressed, unsure about everything.
Totally. Absolutely. I get that for sure. I still obsess over every episode of this I produce. You know what I mean? So, and that's a way bigger project than just producing this audio. So I can empathize knowing that you had even bigger, more responsibilities.
Well, I think at you know, anytime you really pour your heart and your soul, you know, in the project, you are going to be stressed anyway. So I think a good reminder for me was that even if I'm super stressed and you are worried that anything could go south, you are working with other artists.
Right.
And so from the cinematographer that wants the thing to look good and to have the good, you know, from the guy, the PA, who's going to make sure that the sound is good.
Right.
To also the actors who know their line, they know their characters, they're going to bring it to you. Everything kind of like, you know, collide together and it's kind of like everything is in kind of in a harmony. And then everything rolls. And so, honestly, it was 3 days of filming. It was like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think we did one day of reshoot because we needed to do something for the car that was not pretty clear. And everything goes by so fast, and you're so tired. But as soon as you start working, you have like that adrenaline shot, you know, and just like, oh my God, I can't do everything.
Right, right, right.
And after that, the part I was not prepared at all for because, you know, you write it, you're happy with the script, then you get your actors, you get your location, you have everything ready, you film it, you have a blast, and then comes the editing.
Right.
And the editing, I'm so happy that my good friend TJ was editing everything, but it's so daunting.
And it's tedious.
Yes.
Listen, I've admitted this before, so I'm not embarrassed to say it again. That is my least favorite part of even doing this. I love doing this show, but my favorite part is sitting down and hitting record and talking. But all the others, like the editing and the post and all the other stuff, it's so time consuming and it's tedious. And I also, I don't know if you experienced this when you were watching yourself on film. You mentioned earlier, we are our own worst critic. I obsess over the tone of my voice and everything, you know, of my own voice and everything. And
why did I say that word like that?
Right.
Why is my pitch like this?
One time I tried to actually dub myself. I actually tried to record over my own voice and like re-ask the question for like the guest that wasn't in the room anymore.
So that's the fun part. So I would say that at least, I mean, it's still really hard, but at least when you do like just audio, and that could be like a podcast, could be like an audio book or whatever. Mm-hmm. At least it's only audio. When you have the video, and so you have everything,
game,
and the body language in that take was amazing. But you stuttered on that word, and here everything was perfectly clear. Right. But what the fuck are you looking at?
Totally. Yeah, you need when you're doing video, you actually need a lot more elements to simultaneously work in order for the entire clip to work. You know, if I'm just doing audio, yeah, I can manipulate it a little bit easier. So tell me about the music in the film.
So I had no idea, you know, where to search. First, I went to one of my friends who had a relationship with UNLV, and it was just not the the correct route, I think, you know. And so I talked to the cinematographer and I was like, hey, I really need your help here because I like music. I can play some stuff, but I cannot do the score even of a short film of 18 minutes. And he was like, Facebook groups. And I was like, what do you mean? And
oh, really? Like, yeah. I wouldn't have thought of that either.
No, exactly. Like, and he was like,
we don't even know the functionality of Facebook anymore.
And so he showed me one of those groups, and it basically they're just like for, you know, scores for a short film and feature film, independent. Mm-hmm. And so basically he just posted something, you know, and okay. we received actually more people that wanted to work with us, you know, to show their work, like their music and everything. Mm-hmm. More people applying for that than actually the actress job.
Oh, wow. But that's like that's actually a good problem to have, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so I just told him because TJ's job as he's first like a sound engineer. Mm-hmm. So I was like, look, you have a better ear than me. Mm-hmm. So do like a first like filter, you know,
yeah.
and come back to me with like 10 people.
Yeah, make an edit for me and then I can choose, you know.
Well, just 10 people, like meaning, send me their work I will let you know which one I like best. And so we went with that guy. I'm going to butcher his name. He's actually from Colombia. Mm. Like, not even in the U.S. We had, like, the person who did our music is not even from, like, the score is not even from the U.S. And so, listened to his sample. I was like, I like it. Just sent one email. I was like, this is the vibe I'm looking for. Here are, like, some, you know, soundtrack from, like, different movies. Like, I for example, I love, like, Westworld. Westworld is one of my favorite series of all time. And I was just like, I love what they did here. Can you do something similar? And he sent it to me, and I was just like, my God, I don't even know that guy, but he watched just like, you know, because if you ever watch like a film or short film without music, mm-hmm. it's sad.
I wasn't really sure where you were going to go with that, but you nailed it. That was great.
It's really sad. Like, you know, like it. Because the music always makes almost well,
the
like
music tells always you, enhances the yes, experience and for and the
tells
audience.
You how you have yeah. to feel.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah,
this is really emotional. This is really happy. Right, this is really sad. Like this is an action scene. Like you get all right, that stuff.
Right, right.
And I was like, that guy just like in a week produced the entire score.
Oh wow!
And we tweaked it in like two or three places just okay. to make sure that you sure. know I was like here it's a bit more energetic, a bit more upbeat, send something back, and I was like, love it. And yeah, he was the guy, and I think I'm gonna use it for my next
for your next project. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Okay, so wait, all right, so now we've gone through the whole process, the writing, the cinematography, the you know, casting, filming, editing, the score, the musical score. What's next?
So the goal for me was never to sell it or distribute it. Like, that was never the goal. My goal was just to kind of like make my little dream come true, yeah. you know, and just have
my... You needed to birth it.
Yeah, and just have my own voice. And I was like, okay, how can I just like show, you know, my film to people? And mm-hmm. so I just started to send it to a film festival. So mm-hmm. basically, actually that part was like the easiest one.
Oh, yes, I love it.
You have one website. It's called a Film Freeway.
Oh, okay.
And you just go on it, and there is all the film festival in the world.
And you can submit to all of them at once if you want to, or no?
Yes, I mean it's free to put everything on it. Like uh-huh. the movie, everything is free.
Okay.
It costs you only to submit to festivals.
Gotcha.
And depending of, you know, during COVID, something that was really trendy was like online festival.
Mm-hmm.
I personally try to avoid those because I don't know how, you know, when you can see for how long they've been running, and when you see like less than a year, I mean, I don't know who's, you know, hang out in their basement, and I don't want to pay them like $20 to to maybe select my movie. So
right.
We only went to the route like the really like legitimate, you know,
sure. Festivals,
film festivals.
So what does that look like? I mean, when you are accepted into a festival, obviously it's meant that your film will be shown there.
Yes.
But what else? I mean, does the festival do any marketing for the film, or like, I mean, what other things do they do to help reach a wider audience?
So most of the time, nowadays it's pretty classic. So you send it, mm-hmm. you wait. To give you an idea, I send it to at least like 60 film festival around the world. And we've been only an official selection in 4 of them.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, there is still at least like 25 or 30 like pending. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that we get more. But yes, you send it. And then if you're lucky enough, they love what you do. And also there is like so many different type of festivals. So you have to really pick the one that makes sense for now your product. Because sure. now it's not a film anymore.
It has to be very on brand, on message. Well, yeah, exactly.
And then you have some, you know, that are festivals about, I don't know, about the planet. You know, and like, so this is kind of like my target. Then you're going to have like an LGBTQ, you know, like film festival. Well, this is not what my story is about, so I'm not going to send it there. Or one is going to be all about comedy, and my, for example, is a drama. So you just do your research about the festival, and then you submit to the ones that you think fit best, you know, your production.
Yeah.
And from there, if you're lucky to be selected, basically they're gonna send you an email, congratulations, you've been selected. Mm-hmm. You are invited, you know, to attend.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of festivals decided to go online.
Oh, because of COVID?
Still because of COVID.
I see.
I mean, even when we filmed everything outside.
Yeah.
95, 100 degrees. And we.
Girl,
and people
I know. Vegas, honey.
Yeah, but wearing an N95 when you the in mask, the desert. Yeah, it's almost like nonsense.
Right.
You know, like, and I'm all about, you know, like, be careful with everyone. But if everybody tests negative. But anyway, that's just. Like,
I get it. No,
that's
I get
just
it.
Like details. But. Then, they, you know, you're invited. Then they're going to promote it via the newsletter, Instagram, Twitter. And then you have to be a good partner on your side. You know, you retweet. And it's all about that. Actually, I'm going to attend this weekend my first film festival. We are not an official selection. I would have loved to, but no. but our movie was invited to be part of their library. So all the short films.
And this is in Palm Springs.
Yes.
I love it. That's so exciting.
And yes, it's... I mean,
congratulations.
It's thank you. Well, you know, we are invited, me and the cinematographer, because, I mean, it was my idea, but that would have not come to life without mm-hmm. him. And so we're going to go, and it's my first time. So I'm just going to try to take it all in, you know, go to the Q&A, the forums, and watch also, you know, all the other short films and see what their story is about. And, you know, maybe it's going to give me another idea, or I don't know. It's just, I'm just really, really excited about that one.
You should be. I mean, this is really exciting. This is your first film, and you're already going to film festivals. You are invited to also Vancouver and Paris film festivals as well, correct?
Correct.
Yes. I love it. Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. So, but the first one, the very first one you're actually going to is this coming weekend in Palm Springs. So, what are you doing? Driving or flying?
Driving.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's close enough, I guess.
Well, you know, it's only
I just hate driving. Me personally. I'm not a road trip kind of girl. Okay. Like, I will literally get on the plane for a 40-minute ride.
No,
if it's available. You know.
I like to drive. I actually have never been to Palm Springs.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Okay.
The only thing I know is that I guess that Brad Pitt has a beautiful house over there. I mean, I'm just like, that has nothing to do with me, but great. That was a fun fact that someone
great.
Told me.
I mean, I've only been there for White Party. So I've been there for gays. I've been there for the gays and the sucker parties. But yeah, I can't say I've spent much time there otherwise. So I'm sure the city has a lot more to offer than the times I've been there. So you'll have to let me know how it is.
I let you know. I'm just, you know, it's just, I think that for the past like 2.5 years, 3 years, we have been so secluded, you know, staying at home and not doing anything.
Pandemic,
and now it's the first time that people can finally, and I'm not, it's not just in this industry, but in any, like, you know, people can finally travel, see their family, having a good time. So I'm really excited to just like connect.
Yeah.
With people that I don't know are coming from different backgrounds and everything. Because, I mean, isn't life all about that? You know, just like meeting people
networking
and having a good time.
Meeting people, exchanging ideas and create, especially as creative types. I definitely get that.
We had a review from Think Short, which is basically one of the top, like, you know, critics mm-hmm. for short films.
Yeah.
We got 5 stars out of 5.
Of course you did, girl. She got 5 out of 5. Hey,
well,
girl.
You know, it's just, I can't be thankful enough for yeah. the people I work with. TJ Penton, who did, like, you know, all the cinematography. That's thanks to him that everything looks so amazing.
Yeah.
All the actors, especially Jay, who really... When you know Jay, he's such like a jovial person and everything, yeah, and it really brought like something I created.
But then he got like focused in his role.
Yeah, and his character is so like hurt, rugged, and everything. And I was just like, oh my God, who's that guy?
I love that. you saw this like transformation in real time. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Because exactly that. Yeah, people who know Jay, yeah, he's you know, he's full of life and he's outgoing and he's silly.
He's like,
and he's
hey,
funny.
Girl, how are you doing?
And then, I can only imagine to see him go into character. It's you know, like polar opposite to his you know, everyday personality, you know,
yeah,
at least for this role, I'm sure, you know.
Like they say, acting.
Acting. oh my gosh, I love that. Okay, so listen, since I have you here, before I let you go, we have to talk about wine for a minute because you are you are the wine expert, girl.
And we've been sipping rosé the entire rosé. Time.
So. I think it's funny. I wasn't going to go there, but I'm going to go there. I think it's funny if we tell the audience how we met on the golf course.
Yes, we didn't know. We didn't know each other at all, and that was probably my first...
You were very new to Vegas.
Second week to
Vegas. Yeah, you had just gotten here, yeah.
And they were like, okay, so you're going to take care of a golf tournament? And I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And they were like, yeah, it's a gentleman club golf tournament. And I was like, I don't know what that means. They're like, well, you know, you will see. It's fun.
You'll
like,
see, yeah.
it's, you know, it's dancers at every hole, like, playing. And I'm just like, okay, that sounds pretty wild. And I was like, I'm coming from Miami, but let's have some fun.
Right.
And then Kristen introduced us, and
Schaefer slash Vesely, yeah.
She would always be Schaefer.
I know. No, girl, listen, I have to still, no disrespect to Adam, but I still, because she's my best friend, and I've known her for many years prior to her, obviously, for her marriage, I still have to actively remind myself to say Vesely, because I'm so used to saying Schaefer, but yeah, so I get it. Yeah.
Oh, it's the same thing for me. When her name's like pops up now on my phone, I'm like... Oh, yeah. Like, remind yourself. But yeah, so Chris was like, yeah, I cannot stay here, Max. I have like so much things to do. But you're going to work with Bill. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Let's do it. And she's like, okay, so here is the copper card. So we had a golf
cart. So that was the brand. Well, can we? Oh, wait.
Yeah. That was with Absolute Elixir.
Yeah.
And it was like a transformed golf cart, and basically
and it was all copper. It was a gorgeous car.
Yes, yeah. It was like super fucking shiny.
Yeah,
sorry for swearing.
Oh, it's okay.
But like you could see it like 10 miles away, not even
yeah,
like 10 miles away.
Especially in this Vegas sun, right? Like, yes. And you could see us driving in that cart.
And so everything was like decked out, and basically we had like coolers, and Bill was in charge of Absolute Elixir, and I was in charge of Perrier Champagne. And she was like, okay, so either the guests can have, you know, like whatever drink they want with Absolute Elixir, or Max, you're going to pour them champagne. I'm like, yeah, fine. Easy. And she's like,
easy breezy, yeah.
Or you can do what we call here in Las Vegas, the copper bomb. And I was like, what is that? And she was like, well, here are like some mini, they were like shot glasses.
They were like, yeah, they were like shot glasses, but they were in the shape
wine,
of
wine.
Yeah, they were in glasses. Shape of a like wine glass.
And
yeah.
She was like, so you pour them a glass of champagne, you pour them a
shot
glass
of Elix,
a shot of vodka, and you give one of each to them. And I'm like, so 2 shots. And she's like, yes. So it's because the party starts with you.
Yes.
So you cheers.
Cheers yourself. Yeah.
You cheers yourself.
Yeah.
You take the shot of vodka and then you chase it with champagne. And I was just like, where did that just
You were like, welcome to Vegas, girl.
Yeah. And Bill and I.
I love that you said, where did I just move to?
Well, yeah. And you and I, you know, we were just like doing it. And I was like, well, Bill, let's just like try it, you know? And so basically...
Yeah, we had to test it, yeah.
Well, and the thing is, when you do that and you're on the golf course and it's a gentleman club, you know, golf tournament and everybody's having fun, at some point, like, people are just like, well, if we take one, you take one.
Right,
and
right.
We're just like, sure.
Yeah, it didn't take much convincing. Like, we were
no,
like, okay.
But the thing is, after like...
a couple holes, after a couple holes on the golf course,
we were driving
like,
everywhere,
oh,
and I was just like, oh my God, I cannot drink anymore.
I got drunk. I was drunk that day. I was drunk. I'll admit it. I I stumbled out of there a little bit.
Well, let's just be really happy that we left with an Uber and right.
Yes, exactly.
And not like somewhere on the road with
we're really driving in the copper cart. We're driving the copper cart home. Like
that at some point that was would have a been possibility. Funny, actually.
But yeah, that was so. I just remember that was so much fun. That was the first time I met you, and we had a great time. I think we had a really great time. But anyway, I just wanted to tell that story. But it's funny. But so tell us, okay. I'm actually really excited. I haven't really shared this with the audience, but I am actually, as you know, about to start my sommelier certification.
Yes.
Yes. Which you obviously... Me. Oh, wait, go ahead.
Yes, girl.
Yes, girl. Perfect. Which you obviously, you of course already have. You know, so tell me what can I expect on this journey?
Well... it's going to be, I think that for you is going to be pretty easy.
Yeah.
Knowing.
Because I'm already so fat. I'm already so well-versed in drinking. No.
Well, I think that for that you're a master.
Yeah, yeah. I'm already a master when it comes to consumption.
But when, it, you know, when it's about our industry, our day job, like, I mean, you know everything about wine. You know how it's made. Yeah. You know how to do a tasting. You know, like, the main region, new world, old world.
Right.
So I think you're going to just like, you're going to cruise. You're going to have a good time.
We're going to, yeah, I'm excited. I start on July 1st, which I guess in reality, when this episode airs, will be a week after that, but either way.
No, but I'm sure you will. It's not going to be hard for you.
Thank you. I call you if I have any questions?
Yes, of course. And if anything, that's going to get you more excited to go for the level 2,
yeah,
which is a little bit more in depth and with the tasting. I will warn you about the level 3, because level 3 is for the Court of Sommelier, mm-hmm. to become a Master Sommelier.
Yeah, which is the organization I'm going to, yeah.
That's when it gets tricky, you know, when they're like, okay, this one is coming from France, but which region in France, and can you identify the village?
Yeah.
I'm making like...
And what time of day did they harvest this? Like, when... What color shirt was the viticulturist wearing when they were crunching?
And was he still with his wife or not?
Right. And again, I love that we think this is funny, but I don't know. Like, people are listening who don't know anything about the industry. They're probably like, "Why is that funny?"
No, it's just that when so to become a master sommelier, you have 4 levels,
right,
for the people who don't know about it and are listening right now. Level 1 is basically you need to have like basic wine knowledge,
right?
How it's made, like blah blah blah. Level 2, a little bit more in depth. Level 3 is when it starts to get real.
Yeah, like when shit gets real.
Yes. You have like to know, you know, like the country, the region, the sub-region, the soil. Like it's, and then basically the biggest jump is from level 2 to 3.
Yeah,
and then so many people who are sommelier, like as a profession,
yeah,
even them, like so many people stay in level 3 for years before mm-hmm. to finally take it and pass it.
Yeah, I get you.
But you're gonna crush level 1,
thanks,
girl.
So what is your, let me just ask your opinion since I have you, I think I know what your favorite champagne is, but this is probably an unfair question, but do you have a favorite wine?
I do not have a favorite wine, mm-hmm. But I have like favorite wines for different
occasions. Absolutely,
like I can drink champagne anytime.
Yeah,
like as long as it's
and
good
are we
champagne.
Still are we still PJ girl?
Of course,
we are.
PJ,
I love it
every day.
Come on, girl.
I non vintage Perrier Blanc de Blanc.
Yeah,
my favorite.
Oh, yes,
so good. And I would say a Perrier Belle Epoque Rosé if
okay.
I want to go fancy.
Okay.
If I'm really rich, I go for the Belle Epoque Blanc de Blanc, but that's pretty hard. Then for a white wine, I will go either a nice Burgundy, like
okay.
Chardonnay, you know, something really nice.
Is there a producer that you recommend?
Man, like nothing that comes to mind like right away.
That's okay.
It's just like,
yeah, I was curious.
No, but I'm just, when it comes to wine, like, you know, some people go to the restaurant mm-hmm. and they will drink like their the Cabernet. They have like that house that they like or that chateau.
Sure.
And that's all they will drink. Right. Doesn't matter if it's fish or steak. Right.
Yeah, they don't, it doesn't matter what they're pairing it with. They're, exactly. They're just creatures of habit.
Exactly. And, yeah. and they go for that wine.
Yeah.
Me, like if...
It depends on what you're going to eat. Yeah.
Yeah. And if, you know, if the sommelier is actually really good at their job and they're just like, hey, we have like this amazing wine from, I don't know, from Italy or that wine from South America. Mm. Most of the time, like if you just like you just know what you're talking about, sure. I'm going to be like, yeah,
great.
I'll try it.
Yeah,
I'd be more picky when actually I'm cooking at home.
Okay.
And I want to make sure that I have the right wine for my guests. That's where I'm going to get picky.
I love that. No, that makes a lot of sense. Well, listen, Max, I had such a great time catching up with you. We haven't seen each other in a while, so this has been such a treat. Thank you so much for coming.
No, thank you so much for having me. Let me talk a lot.
Of course, girl. No, it was fabulous. It was fascinating.
Pour me some nice rosé.
Yeah.
From France.
It was a French rosé. Well, I knew it was with you for you. So just remind the audience, when will they be able to see The Film Hunter?
So for the next 2.5 months, we're still going through like the festival circuit.
The festival circuit, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. And once all of that is
gone... So we got to walk all those red carpets, girl.
I hope I get more.
Yeah.
And once all of that is...
I should be like interviewing people on the red carpets at these festivals. Imagine you walk up and like, hey girl, tell me about your film.
Yeah, people will love you directly. Like, you know, you have such a like... A warm personality people are always like, yeah, girl, let me tell you my story. And by the way, did you know what I did last night?
Right. Yeah, they did. I don't know how, honestly. I mean, thank you for that compliment because I take it as a compliment. But yeah, sometimes that really does happen.
But it's so weird because the process, like from like start to the end, is so long that I'm almost getting to a point. I'm just like, yeah, I'm already thinking about like the next project.
Yeah.
You know.
And what can you share with us? What are the ideas for the next project?
Well, I have two, and they are all going to be short film because this is something I do, you know, on the side of my day job, like as a passion. I would love to film one of them, which will be a drama, probably before end of this summer.
Nice.
So I think that all together, that should be like a 2 to 4 days shoot, like depending of location. The other one I have in mind, and I don't know why I keep like writing drama, and I love comedy.
You know, I know you're not a dramatic girl, so like,
really?
Well, girl? I mean, well, maybe, girl. No, I'm kidding. No, I know you are. Your personality, at least in my experience, has always been, you know, silly and funny, and you know we have fun. But so yes, the drama. I'm wondering where this is coming from.
but I'm like, I'm writing that comedy one and I'm almost done with it and I love it.
Yeah.
It's just that comedy is way more tricky
to
write. And even once you're done with the writing, it's not necessarily...
You don't know how the jokes are going to land until you hear an audience watch it.
And it's not necessarily funny on the page.
Right.
Because then you need the actors to really bring it and the way you're going to film it and everything. And so this is something I'm reading about right now. I'm reading a lot about sitcom. And more like, I don't know for the people listening, but like more difference between like multicam sitcom, like Friends,
yes,
Big Bang Theory, like Will and Grace, like things that were made like in front of like people.
Multiple,
so it was like,
cameras,
it was a mix between theater and sitcom.
And now, film. Yeah.
Yes. And now the style is more like a single cam, kind of like a Modern Family.
Right.
And so I'm learning the difference and it's...
Or like The Office.
The Office. Yeah. Exactly.
I get that. Oh, that's interesting. I never thought of it that way, but that's obviously really valid. Those are things you have to consider, you know, when you're doing this.
Being funny is tricky.
And I've always said that. Like, seriously, I feel like people in general, not to get too off topic here, I think that people in general do not give comedians enough credit, because comedy is it takes a very smart person to be funny in front of an audience or on film, and I think sometimes the comedians can get some kind of not enough credit, or maybe a bad rap of people thinking that they're just jokesters and not intelligent. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
you have to be really smart to be funny, right?
Yes,
I have so much respect for the comedy world.
Yeah, and so much is, you know, in the body language and the tone, and you have to be so smart, yes, to be a really good comedian.
Yeah.
that's just the point. So I do not know when I will make that one.
I love it. Well, listen, I'm so grateful you came today, and I can't wait to see the film whenever it's available for me to watch it. And if you know you can always count on the support of Hey Girl for any of your upcoming projects. And if you ever write a script where you need a choreographer, I'm your girl. if you're doing a dance sequence in any of your films,
I hit you up, girl.
Hit me up, girl. All right. Well, anyway, again, thank you so much. Welcome to the Hey Girl family, and best of luck at all the festivals.
Well, thank you, girl.
Yes, girl. All right. Well, if you like what you heard, show us some love and hit that subscribe button. You can also check us out at heygirlpodcast.com. Girl is spelled with a U. We have musical playlists, cocktail, Hey Girl inspired cocktail tutorials, episodes, branded merchandise, and more. So check us out there or follow us on our social media platforms. Max, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, girl.
All right.